You were a goalie, so you have seen penalty kills break down in front of you before. How frustrating is that for a goaltender to, you know, knowing that, and these guys know, they covered all this. As Mike Babcock said, we covered it in the morning meeting, for God's sake. It's fresh in everybody's mind. How frustrating is that for a goaltender to see guys out of position when you know you've covered that?
It's over the top frustrating, like you say, especially when you go over in the video, and it wasn't. And on top of that, it wasn't. At least the first goal, it wasn't the big unit, and it hasn't been the big unit throughout the playoffs. Getting you, and that's just as frustrating when it's Charlie Coyle beating you rather than, you know, Patrice and Pasternak and Marchand. So, you know, 5 of 11 isn't enough. It's just not good enough. And certainly last night, it cost them in a big way.
What have you seen from the Bruins through these first four games? Have you seen anything that surprised you, or anything that from your point of view has disappointed you? Because as I said, you see this team more often than we do. You have a better handle on them than us. Is there something you've seen that surprises you?
Game one was extremely disappointing. For all of us that watched them all season, you know, we expected the effort, the intensity to be like game two in game one. So I think that's the one that got away. And, you know, a little bit of that in game three as well. And last night they did enough to win. They got away with one, I think, you know, last night. I think Toronto, you know, you talked a lot about the penalty kill, but, you know, just the push at the end as well and throughout the second period. So, I think they have to feel, I think they're feeling really good that they're at 2-2, you know, just the way they played.
Andrew, the way that Bruce Cassidy used David Pasternak last night, you know, Emily Benjamin did a terrific job breaking it down on NHL.com. You know, Danton Heinen being told before the game that he is going to be the right wing on the top line, but he was also told that for line rushes and warmups, you know, stay on the third line, and we'll make the change when the game starts. I mean, that's a neat story, but you know what I like is the fact that Bruce Cassidy makes that move, but then also goes back to Pasternak on the first line when he sees it works. And I like a coach who can mix up lines, but I really like a coach who knows his team well enough that he thinks, okay, what I wanted to do has worked. Now it's time to go back to my guys. I'm going to trust my players. And as I'm watching that game last night, I'm really getting the sense that I'm seeing, in the case of Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins, a coach that just has complete and total confidence in all his forwards.
He does, and he's had it, you know, since he walked in the door. You know, he's done a fantastic job this season and all of last season, making both in-game adjustments, game-to-game adjustments. He's very good at it. The team responds to it. You saw Pasternak respond to it last night. And I can't tell you how many times he's done it throughout the season with any number of guys. And it works out just like it did last night. It's really something, you know, that they do really well. And it's, you can see, you know, this is why they don't go on runs of losing 3, 4, 5 games, because mm-hmm. he has such a pulse on the team. He has such an ability, and the players themselves also have a lot of input. You know, they've been around a long time. They know what they need, you know, game to game, and it's something that makes them a really tough out, because they won't lose 2 games in a row the same way.
Yeah, you really get that impression that this is, you know, just watching some of the things they do, and special teams, I think, is one of those areas as well. But you really get the sense, and then you look at the Bruins, and you look at that top line, you look at the number of games they've played together, you really do get the sense that almost everything they're doing, Andrew, is second nature. You know, and as good as the Leafs, I mean, the Leafs' top line has been great, but it's also the first year that Tavares and you know, has been here, in the first year that unit's together, where you look at Boston, those guys have been through a lot, those top three guys in particular. They just seem to get where the other guy's going to be.
Yeah, you're right. And when it becomes second nature like that, it makes it so much harder to game plan. And you can do all the video you want, but when it's second nature to them, they can make an adjustment within a shift. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to sit down on the bench and go over it again, or they don't have to go to the iPad and go over it. they can make that adjustment just within a face-off. They can make the adjustment while looking at each other, and that's where they're at. And also going back to the line, moving the guys up and, you know, Pasternak or Heinen up and down, they've played with each other enough through the season because of injury and because of, you know, struggles at times, that those other, you know, those adjustments have become second nature, and it makes it really difficult for anyone to defend against them. You know, who's going to play with who, you know, tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm.
They could go back to the big line tomorrow night because they got home ice advantage, or they could keep it this way, or they could change in the middle of the first period. It just makes it really difficult, especially now that the Leafs are on the road, to adjust and to go up against that and match up lines the way they want. It's going to be difficult.
Now, I know Zdeno Chara scored the Bruins' fifth goal last night from the blue line, but one of the things that I think, and I don't know if you're seeing it the same way we are. Again, I haven't watched Zdeno as much this year as you have. Obviously, he's getting older. He's not the player he once was. None of us are anything we once were 2 or 3 years ago, let alone 5 or 6 years ago. But I'm just wondering, Andrew, as you watch him, you know, if the Bruins do go on to play Columbus, and we saw what Columbus did to Tampa Bay's defense corps. I mean, they were on them. They were hitting them at every opportunity. Are we starting to see maybe that Zdeno Chara age is catching up to him a little bit here? And I don't mean that in a negative way, because it's going to happen. Yeah. But he's clearly not the player he was even last year, I don't think, in the playoffs.
No, certainly he can't be the physical dominant guy where he's, you know, just, you know, smothering the Sedin twins, you know, like he did 8 years ago. It's just physically. The thing with Chara right now is if McAvoy's really going, if McAvoy plays the way he did last night and even in game three, then that makes Chara better. That allows, you know, if McAvoy's the one skating, if McAvoy's the one getting in and getting pucks out of the zone, then Chara is able to, you know, conserve some of that energy and play a little bit more physical. So what I notice is a lot of times when Chara's having his really good game, it's because McAvoy is really carrying the load for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's become kind of that secondary where he can use his big stick and use his big body defensively and let McAvoy do all the legwork and do all the, you know, the grunt work, it's, you know, to say.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm watching this series, you almost get the impression, you can see, and I know this is a horrible cliche, but you almost get the impression you can see the torch being passed a little bit, right? It's like, kid, you know, it's not that I carried you, but, you know, you were with me for a while now. Now I'm kind of turning it over to you. Just, you know, try to keep me in. Try to not make me look too bad, essentially, is what you're seeing.
No, you're right. It's 100%. And, you know, it's completely, you know, up to McAvoy to do a lot of that work. Because, again, you know, he's 42. You know, the guy, he's at an age where, you know, he's a physical specimen and he is a beast and a Hall of Famer and all those things. But the game's a lot quicker, and, you know, he needs those legs on the other side of him to make some of those extra plays that he just doesn't have in the tank over a 7-game series over a, you know, 25-game playoff push.
And one of the guys that I think has been quietly effective, and I was a big fan of this guy when the trade was made. To me, he just screams Bruin, but has been Coyle. He's really made a difference to this team, hasn't he?
He certainly has. And we talked about it, you know, a few weeks ago when I was on, just talking about, you know, how he is a Bruin. He's that prototypical Bruin guy. And, you know, he came in, he wasn't scoring. You know, there was some, you know, I think the fan base and some of the media wanted him to jump in and, you know, help out offensively. But the coaching staff and the organization was just talking how he solidified the third line center. You know, he doesn't need to score goals. He just solidified that position that they know they can rely on that third line. And we've seen that in the playoffs as the games have gotten harder, a little tighter. He's come up with the big goals the last couple of games just because there's so much focus on the top two line centers for the Bruins that he's been able to kind of fly under the radar and work a heavy game and get into the, you know, those areas on the ice in playoff time that, you know, he's been able to capitalize. So certainly a huge addition. You saw last night Johansson, the other addition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a skilled guy, and, you know, I thought he was impactful last night as well for the Bruins.